All right, welcome back. We are on
Powered by
episode
Riverside
16
Apparel.
of the Gridiron Pulse. How are we doing today, Carter?
Pretty fantastic. Reason why I'm wearing this Falcons hat today is that we are officially 100 days out from the NFL season. So I am obviously getting that huge just football itch, this boring part of sports that we are in right now.
Yeah, we're officially in the dog days of the off season right now. It has not been an easy stretch for me either. I need football like water. But speaking of which, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about some Falcons OTAs. We got a couple topics, like all these NBA playoff games that we've missed. Georgia baseball got their regionals. And then the Braves are kind of stuck in limbo. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. It's going to be Georgia baseball, and I have the, not the bracket, but I have the matchups pulled up. So I'm going to go ahead and share that. And we're going to go ahead and get right into it here. So I feel like I like the draw we got with the teams that we have to play, but I definitely feel like we got screwed in our seeding number. I mean, do I think we should have been a two or three seed? No, but Auburn being the four is just disgraceful. They're like the only SEC team in there without that didn't eclipse 40 wins, and they got swept by Georgia. I know it was early on in the year, and then baseball kind of likes to hot ride the hot hand, and teams like Vandy who get the number one overall seed after winning the SEC tournament. But I definitely think we should have been a four or a five seed, to say the very least. I mean, number two in the RPI, number four in strength of schedule. I know all of our metrics are better than Auburn's, and we have three more wins and swept them in the season series. So that's kind of my take on it. But in these matchups, I like this. We were talking, me and Carter were just talking about before coming on the air, where in the world is Binghamton? But we put the nail on the head here. It's in New York. It's kind of on that New York, Pennsylvania border right there. So they're going to be traveling pretty far to Athens, Georgia to play on noon on Friday on SEC Network, as you see right here. What do we think about these matchups here, Carter?
I think this region really favors Georgia. I'm just gonna say the obvious. I think Duke is gonna be really the only threatening team in this region. I will say if I would not want to play Georgia Tech in this regional because I think they got screwed over on their regional spot. Personally, I thought Georgia Tech was gonna be in our regional, but if I'm Ole Miss, I would be very scared to play Georgia Tech. I think they're gonna be a good team. There's definitely a chance that they'll win that regional. Our regional, I really like it. I really like the draw. Georgia being a 7 seed, in my opinion, is a joke. Like what you said about Auburn, I think we should have been a higher ranked seed with all the strength of schedule numbers and the FPI being in our favor, which I don't know if anyone is really like knowledgeable in the selection show, but they value all like the schedule metric things really, really good. So I don't understand the reasoning why Georgia's a lower seed than Auburn, which who they swept this year, but besides the point. But I think I mean I'm gonna put my bias hat on here. I think Georgia's gonna advance from this regional. I think Oklahoma State could give us a scare, even though I don't really think so, but again, it's baseball. Anything could happen, but yeah, I really like this draw for Georgia. I think I wouldn't say it's one of the easier ones that they could have gotten, but I think it's definitely up there compared to other teams who got their draws. But I like Georgia to advance in their regional this weekend.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, obviously, I think Georgia Tech's going to be a tough out in the Oxford regional. I think Ole Miss is going to have their hands full with them for sure. But I would love to have Georgia versus Georgia Tech with Omaha on the line. I just feel like that would be really, That would be awesome. Clean old fashioned hate. There's nothing like it. And we've already beaten them this year.
Sign me the hell up,
Yeah.
man. That would be amazing.
In Foley Field, too. We played them at Truist Park earlier in the year. We won, I believe, 5-2 or 5-3. Still a pretty
Yeah, it
good
was
game. I
pretty
know
close.
they got some big bats. They got a couple of kids from Westside High School as well, not too far from us. So a couple local kids getting some shine. Let's go ahead and look at some of these other regionals. So we spoke on Auburn, 38-18. Just I don't know. And then they got to play Central Connecticut. Interesting. And then Stetson and NC State. I mean, I can speak from experience last year. NC State's a tough out. I mean, that could come back and bite them in the butt. But I think this is a pretty easy regional here. Florida got one heck of a draw with Coastal and East Carolina. I mean, they're going to have a chance to make it to Omaha again after just an abysmal start to the year. I think they started 0-8 or 0-9 in SEC play. Just terrible. What do you think about
Yeah,
this one?
so I'm gonna be on the other side. I think Coastal Carolina got screwed over in the seeding. I thought that they were gonna be ranked a little bit higher than where they are. But definitely like what you said, I think Florida is gonna be a tough out for Coastal, who I think they're gonna play Florida to advance in their regional. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say Coastal advances. I think they've been a really solid team all year, even though they play, and I guess you could say a weaker conference, but I like Coastal. I definitely think that they got really screwed over by the selection committee ranking them this low. I thought that they were going to be at least a top 10 seed. But to play devil's advocate, I guess you could say, it's based off of like the conference that they played in with all these, SEC teams. But I think it's gonna be a good game between Coastal and Florida, but I'm gonna be a Gator hater till I die, so give me Coastal Carolina to advance in their regional. Will
Yeah,
never
amen to
root for
that.
Florida.
Amen to that. I think Coastal advances as well. I know that's not saying too much, be it they are the 13 seed. But Florida's definitely, they're going to give someone, whoever they have to play, they're going to give them every chance that they have. And then, yeah, I think Auburn takes this one. They're probably going to be able to beat Coastal right in the hot bats. I just don't understand how they're a 4 seed. I did want to look
Yeah,
at
I
one
don't.
other one. I know Texas got a super just cupcake draw. Here we go.
Arkansas too. Arkansas got a cupcake.
Yeah. Texas being in here with UCLA, I don't think they're all that. Houston Christian, Kansas State, and UTSA. We go meet till we die, brother. Meet UTSA advancing through the Austin Regional.
Let's go, Roadrunners. Meet.
Meet all the way. I think.
I would throw up their whatever like signal that they do, but I don't remember it, but
They got
go
something going
UTSA.
on. I wouldn't be surprised if UC Irvine comes out of this one either. Although they
Yeah,
may.
I don't know. I would probably go with UCLA just because they're really good baseball school. They produce so much talent. So I'm gonna go safe pick there. I'm gonna pick UCLA.
Yeah. I think the only drawback here for Arkansas being the 3 seed would be potential Tennessee matchup right here. I know they haven't been playing well as of late, but regardless of who you talk to, I mean, that's the most, if not like top three most talented teams in the country.
Yeah, give me Wake Forest.
Taking Wake Forest money line in the Knoxville Regional. Yeah, this is a pretty easy draw though in their regional, the North Dakota State, Creighton, and Kansas. I feel like we've seen a lot of Kansas versus Arkansas, the battle of pronunciation lately. I know they played in a bowl game
Yeah.
not too long ago.
They played in March Madness this
That's
year. Arkansas beat them.
yeah, they did. That was a 10-7 matchup as well. That was one of the only good games of March Madness, which this year was definitely, we can chalk it up to be a March Sadness, especially for North Carolina. All right, we're going
Yeah.
to bring it back here. Anything else that you want to talk about on the baseball front, at least in Georgia baseball?
Again, I've been saying this every single time we've talked about Georgia baseball. The Achilles heel of this team to make a Omaha run is the pitching. And the bats are going to handle themselves. I have all the confidence in the world in the bats, but just the pitching, the pitching, the pitching. I cannot express it enough. If Georgia wants to win the College World Series, their pitching has to be on fire. Like, they need to do something kind of like the night shift with the Braves in their World Series run, just lock down, barely giving up any hits, barely giving up any runs. If they do that, it's game on.
Yeah,
they're gonna storm through everybody. I just agree. With their high powered offense, just again, just their pitching just needs to be on point. I don't really have any, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I have all the confidence in the world. I think Wes Johnson is going to definitely do a good job in handling their rotation and bullpen. Just obviously it's game on from here. But again, just pitching is going to be the Achilles heel of this team, whether they make it out of the regional, whether they go to Omaha, whether they win the whole damn thing, just pitching is gonna be the key.
Yeah, I agree with that. We really just need to get quality games out of our starters. You gotta go bare minimum 5 innings. That's the biggest discrepancy that I've seen between most of our SEC series, like teams like Texas, Vandy, and Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee. Even they have pitchers who can go the whole game. We don't have a single one of those on our roster. Regardless, it's like, we're not asking too much from you. Go 5, maybe 6 innings. Throw 85, 90 pitches. I don't think we've had a single pitcher throw over 100 pitches in a game this year. But if they did, we'd probably lose by 40. Because it's just, consistency has not been there. Control hasn't been there. And it's been walks. The walks have been what's killing us. I think we'll be pretty solid, though. I think JT Quinn is going to turn into being that third starter for us, along with Leighton Finley and Curley. I would love to not have to use Curley until we have to play someone like maybe Duke or that Georgia Tech or Ole Miss. But The bats are going to have to come through for sure. I know it's a lot easier pitching with a 5-6 run lead than it is in a 1-0 ball game, but it's going to be pitching. Like you said, I mean, that's been the Achilles heel all year. Don't doubt the bats at all, especially with Burnett and Zaborowski coming back from injury. As long as they can stay healthy, if the bats can stay healthy, oh, dude, we're going to be tough to beat.
I will say, if I were to make a prediction on who's going to win just based off of right now, I'm going to go with the hot hand. I'm going to go Vandy. They're just won the SEC. I think they're playing extremely good baseball at the right time. They're going to be a tough draw for anybody. My early prediction, non-bias, Vandy is going to win the College World Series.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. Just such a storied baseball program. I mean, we got swept up there earlier on in the year, and I think they had 3 pitchers who threw over 100 pitches in every single game and went bare minimum 8 innings. I mean, you saw it with the guy that we played in the SEC tournament with Oklahoma, their pitcher. He went 8 innings and threw 115 pitches, and we just could not hit this guy.
We'll say one last thing on college baseball. If Vandy makes it to Omaha, please, Omaha staff, whatever you do, please, for the love of God, ban the Vandy Whistler from the games. It is so unbearable to listen to Vandy games with that dude in the stands doing that. Just please just ban him. It would make life so much easier.
Absolutely. I'm all with you on that. Ban the Vandy Whistler. I love it. All right, let's talk about this College Football 26 cover. Kick it off for us and I'll pull it up on the other screen here. So I know it's Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith, go figure, who's shocked, not me. That was that leaked picture of them on the see here. What do you think about the cover?
I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I actually think it's a good cover. I'm the biggest Alabama hater on the planet, so I don't like that Ryan Williams is on the cover, but he definitely deserves it. I guess if EA wanted to market the game more, they probably would have put Arch on there just because of the name, but I think the cover's solid. I think it's a ton better than last year with just the I don't really
seven
have
round
to
draft pick
it.
UDFAs on the cover. What are we doing here? Yeah, this is the cover that we're speaking of. This is the main cover, and then there is this one too. We can see if we can't zoom in here on King Kirby.
Goat sighting.
King Kirby Smart, and there's, is that Bryce Underwood?
Yeah, and Hairy Dog behind Kirby.
Yeah, see a Tebow sighting too. It's funny, Caleb Downs. Yeah, this one's not bad. Is this this is the deluxe edition. Well, dang it, I guess it looks like I'm going to have to get the deluxe edition because I am not spending money on a cover that looks like this. I couldn't do it. Even though covers are pretty much obsolete now. I mean, it's not like you go buy the physical copy of the game at GameStop anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fire, honestly. I think it's so much better than last year's. You know, obviously two of the top players in college football. I mean, why not? It's cool. I like it. But I will say I do like the deluxe edition more, but this is not a bad cover at all.
My biggest drawback with this one is this should have been the cover for next year's game. Like, these guys have to come back another year, both of them. Undraft eligible sophomores. So, like, I kind of just cross them off for being able to do it next year when they're going to have all the hype in the world and probably be the two best players in all of college football. Not saying that they aren't right now, but maybe they're not 1 and 2. They might be like 4 and 5. So I'm going to say there.
You know, fun fact, did you know that Ryan Williams was 17 years old when he took that picture?
Yeah. I think I heard that somewhere. I can't quite remember where. I like this little KSU site.
Hey, let's go, KSU represent. I mean,
out of all these teams, how did KSU make the cut?
Hey man, Air Force made it.
Yeah.
And App State.
I got a fun fact about Air Force. Did you know Paul Skeens went to Air Force?
I don't know if I did or not.
That he did. Libby Dunn did not go to Air Force. Can confirm. She is
we'll
not
say,
in
salute,
Air Force.
Salute to the troops. Hopefully everybody had a good Memorial Day yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Shout out to the troops.
Shout out all those who have lost their lives serving our country so we can do dumb shit like make podcasts in our basements. Salute to you guys. Yes, the real ones. That was good. All right, so we have a little WNBA discourse, dare I say it. Dare I say WNBA discourse on the timeline. Oh, at least it's funny. NBA Centel has discovered WNBA Twitter. And he's just absolutely found an entire new demographic, a new group of people to just troll nonstop. I've seen probably 20 NBA Centel WNBA tweets. They just need to branch off and make it WNBA Centel now.
I feel bad for all these people who don't know who NBA Centel is, and they all every single one comments like, "Oh my god, like is this true?" And then all the comments are like, "Nope, you just got Centel'd." the GO Twitter account.
Last little WNBA thing: Caitlin Clark got hurt, so viewership numbers are going to absolutely plummet for the next 3 weeks. Strained quad should be out for like 3 weeks, whatever. I'm sure she got injured somehow, some way by Angel Grease. Just what a terrible, terrible beef that is. I mean, I'm not even joking, dude. That's like Steph Curry beefing with Andre Drummond. like, no offense to you, Andre Drummond, great player. I think that might be being too generous to Angel Grease, comparing her to Andre Drummond. I mean, she's like worst in field goal percentage in all of the WNBA, only gets rebounds from her own missed shots. It's like me doing like rebounding drills in the driveway. Like, just anyone can just chuck up shots at the rim and know where the ball's going to go because you miss and just grab it. I mean,
Hey man, only real ball knowers watch the Chicago Sky for Haley Van Lith.
that's true. Request for more Haley Van Lith minutes, please.
Jalen Suggs, you are the most lucky man on the face of the earth.
What does he have that I don't, man?
Plays in the NBA.
Yeah, probably likes black guys too. I mean, no fault to him. He's not white. I mean, oh man, is he even? He's still in the NBA, right? Is he on the Magic?
Yeah, I think he was hurt a good bunch this year, so I don't really think he played that much. I think he had like a serious injury, maybe a
Yeah.
knee injury. To be honest with you, I really don't follow the Magic, even though they're a Hawks division rival.
Yeah, I just see it whenever we play them every now and then. But yeah, I don't remember seeing him on the court. All right, that's enough WNBA discourse for one day. And probably for the entirety, like for the remainder that this podcast is a thing. We'll probably not talk about that again. But that's okay. NBA Centel is just cream of the crop.
The goat.
Goat
The
meme
goat.
page. Just absolute goat meme page. But we can keep it on the men's NBA side. So last night, we had a disappointing loss for the Minnesota Timberwolves, down 3-1. That is not a great spot to be in, but we have seen crazier things happen. We have seen crazier things happen. I mean, Ant-Man kind of just not really doing it. He had one of the best games of his career in game three that they won, that first game that they played at home. Just extremely efficient, being assertive, getting to the rack, and obviously just busting threes because that's apparently the entire NBA now. And then the Pacers are up 2-1. They blew a 20-point lead at home to the Knicks. Just seemingly the opposite of how the first game of the series went in Madison Square Garden. Tyrese Haliburton, watching him down the stretch, was not great in that game. Like we were talking about, Ant just wasn't being very assertive, wasn't getting up shots, not just, I mean, you're not going to make shots if you don't take them. That's my thing. It's like, you're the best player on your team. Shoot the ball with 2 minutes left. That's really all I have. I can pull up the box score from last night, but give me your opinion on these past couple games.
I will say the Pacers Knicks series has been absolute cinema to watch. Every game's been really close. Both Brunson or both the Knicks and the Pacers stars are doing what they do. Story of last game, it was the Karl Anthony Towns game. He absolutely dominated. I wasn't gonna say that. But no, he played really well in that third, fourth quarter, just basically just taking over the game, won the game for the Knicks when they were down by 20 points. I was watching that game, and when they were down by 20, I was like, oh, like the Knicks are in serious trouble. But I didn't think that the game was over. There's four quarters for a reason. It's like you said, Jacob. I think Haliburton needs to be more aggressive. It was really hard to watch the Pacers' offense in that last like 10 minutes of the game. The Knicks' defense was were basically just locked down every single thing. They were not letting anything. They were not letting any easy buckets. So, it kind of took the Pacers out of their usual offense that they run. Should be interesting tonight. We got game four tonight, so we shall see what happens. me personally, I think it's still gonna be a gentleman's sweep just based off of how the series is going. So give me the Pacers to win tonight, and give me the Pacers to win Madison Square Garden to go to the finals. So that's my take on that. And then the T-Wolves Thunder series, man, as much as I want the Timberwolves to win, it is very hard to be an Anthony Edwards fan right now. Sadly, I don't know what it is, Jacob. I don't know if he just this has lost confidence in his shot, because I mean, like you said last night, I mean, he only took 13 shots the whole game. I mean, you're the best player in your team. You should be shooting the ball more. I mean, I don't care if you're not missing anything. You need to have the ball in your hands in crunch time. Like, it's like what you said. Like the last 2 minutes of the game, he didn't want to shoot the ball last night, which is so shocking to me. Because I mean, just absolute beast. I don't know if his confidence has just been shot with how OKC's been guarding him the whole series or what, but they need it now more than ever, being down 3-1. And now going back to OKC, where I'll just make my prediction. Sadly, I think this series is gonna end in game five. I think OKC wraps it up, but Ant-Man, I mean, the past two Western Conference Finals, he really just hasn't done much besides a game or two. It's sad. I want, obviously, he and Jacob both want Minnesota to win. OKC is just way too good. I think they overmatched the hell out of the Timberwolves. Jalen Williams, 34 points, just on a heater last night. SGA, just a casual 40 points. I mean, tip of the cap to OKC. They won the game down the stretch, even though the game got close in the last 2 minutes of the game. They made their shots when they needed to. Like I said, unfortunately, I think the T-Wolves are going to get eliminated in the next game. Whoever OKC plays, either the Knicks or the Pacers, good luck to you, because OKC is just absolutely insane this year. So
yeah,
props to them, man.
Yeah, man, I thought the team that had the best chance of beating OKC was Minnesota. Like, both of these teams in the East, I don't think, really stand too much of a chance. But down 3-1, yeah, like you said, just Ant wasn't aggressive enough. 13 total shots, not to be outdone by his quote-unquote co-star, Julius Randle. 1-for-7. Dude took 7 shots, 5 rebounds, or 5 points, 7 rebounds. Just talk about an absolute stinker of a game. I mean, good Lord. Granted, to his credit, he's been great the whole rest of the series, but how do you just fall off a cliff like that, too? I know Ant took 13 shots in one of the first two games that they lost as well. That's just not going to cut it, dude. Can't have Nikhil Alexander-Walker being your leading scorer coming off the bench. That's just, it's not a recipe for success. I think Minnesota will win tomorrow. I think they'll win one more. And then OKC will close it out in 6, most likely.
We'll save a note that I have, just my last thought. You know, just to give a little bit of hope to T-Wolves fans, everybody remembers the last time that OKC was up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. Granted, the T-Wolves don't have prime Steph Curry, prime Klay Thompson, but, you know, there's always a chance, man. So I wanted to shed a little bit of light.
They got prime Anthony Edwards, dog. They got prime Ant-Man. Led the league in threes this year. Lead your team in threes and make them. Please. Please and thanks.
Please.
Ant-Man. Just a couple
please.
Of fans.
I want to see at least a good series now, even though I don't think honestly. Minnesota is going
to
win.
Bring it to 7. Anything can happen in a game 7. Yeah, I've been loving watching this Indiana-New York series, though. Pacers were up by 20 points. They were up 55-35 with a couple minutes left until halftime. And that's when the Knicks just started chipping away, chipping away. Ended up winning 106 to 100. I think the game's tonight, and wasn't it Aaron Nesmith that he rolled his ankle? I think he's gonna be out.
Yes, but
Is he playing?
he really, 'cause he came back into the game the other night.
Saw that he. I remember he rolled his ankle, but then they said he only had like 25 minutes played.
Yeah, he went out for a little bit and then he came back into the game.
He's listed as a game time decision for tonight. I think if he doesn't play, that could be a big.
He'll play.
Yeah, I think he'll play too, but if he doesn't, that's a big loss for them. It can be kind of like the when the Cavs were just without their entire roster. I know Aaron Nesmith's not all that, but it's definitely helpful for them for sure. Yeah, we got game four tonight in Indianapolis. I think I would love to see Indy just gentlemen sweep, like you said. 4-1, hate the Knicks, Zest Fest, Karl Anthony Towns. Oh my God. It's so bad. The edits on Twitter are just legendary. Legendary levels of funny.
Wanted to give a little side note on this. Even though the Pacers are up 2-1 in the series, just looking at it now, games 1 through 3 combined have been separated by a total of 14 points. So essentially this series has been basically up for grabs, like every single game in this series. I mean, the Knicks could easily be up 3-0. Pacers could be up 3-0. Every single game of this series has been insanely close, and I love it because I am sick and tired of watching all these damn blowouts in these playoffs. I was never really too high on the Knicks. I think the Pacers really match well with them, clearly, which is kind of like what I thought going into this series, but yeah, it's really like Indiana really hasn't been dominating the Knicks, even though they're up 2-1. Like I said, every game's been decided by 5, 6, or fewer points each game. But like I said, Jacob, I'm gonna go with the gentleman sweep. I think especially if the Knicks win tonight, all that pressure is gonna be on the Knicks to not lose the series on their home court, which unfortunately I or fortunately, because I hate the Knicks. I think definitely if the Pacers were to win tonight, I think it is over in 5. So
Yeah.
let's go Pacers.
Yep. Let's go Pacers. Seems like the party's already starting in Indianapolis. They got Pat McAfee live right now from right outside the arena. So, you know, the fans are going to be there. They're going to be loud. They're going to be rowdy for that game for sure. Yeah. If they go up 3-1, you can pretty much chalk it up.
Dover.
Not like
Dover.
Minnesota, though. Minnesota being down 3-1 is just new opportunities. You have an opportunity to do something that's only been done a couple times, but if the Knicks go down 3-1, they're in the gutter. They're in the trash can. Series is over. All right. Where do we want to go to next? We want to talk about OTAs or the Braves?
OTAs, because I have a big rant for the Braves I want to save for later.
I'm going to save that for the end. All right. What do we got on OTAs here? I know they begin today, and then Kobe Bryant is one of the most notable UDFAs in NFL history.
I don't know if you saw Raheem Morris's press conference talk. Someone asked him about Kobe Bryant, and he said that he's one of the famous o or famous undrafted free agents that he's ever seen. Everybody wants to ask questions about him. I really hope that he makes the roster. I think dude is a dog. I'm still so shocked that he did not go drafted. I think I don't want to call people out on our defense, even though I really want to, but
Corners suck. We
I
need
think
better
Kobe
ones.
could. All right, you said it for me,
Here we
but
go.
I think Kobe, I think Kobe definitely has a chance to be a corner 2 or corner 3, on this team. Lord knows we need help in our secondary to help AJ Terrell and Jesse Bates. Even I love the drafting of Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman. I think that's really gonna help our corners and safeties. Again, like I've been reading all these rumors about Jalen Ramsey to the Falcons, and I really just I like I would love it. I would absolutely love it, but I don't know where the Falcons are gonna get the money to help pay off his contract when if he gets traded here. I really don't know, but just it's been really interesting. Like, I guess you could say the stove is hotting for Ramsey to the Falcons, so I would love it. But we'll see. But Kobe Bryant, I really hope he makes the team. I'm fairly confident I think he will. Even though I think if he does make the team, I think he'll start off in the practice squad, I think. Maybe just to get him more adjusted to NFL speed than just throwing dude out there in week one and trying to cover Godwin or Jalen McMillan.
Yeah.
So,
It's like,
or
congratulations, you
even
made the roster. Go cover Mike Evans.
go cover Emeka Ebuka.
Yeah. I mean, any one of those Buccaneers have like 18 different receivers. Still kind of shocked they didn't go defense in the first round of that draft.
Yeah, I will say, I was just reading some tweets. Raheem Morris was asked about Braylon Trice, which I was really high on last year, and then unfortunately he had the ACL injury that's a possibility that he'll be full speed for training camp, which is awesome. Definitely would love to have Ed Rusher with Leonard Floyd, Jalen Walker, and James Pearson, Arnold Ebikadi, who I'm higher on than most people are. I think he has the tangibles to be a decent edge rusher. So definitely it would help bolster that edge and defensive line room. And then also just I was on the ESPN site and I saw that James Cook was not at OTAs today. So, Buffalo Bills, you need to pay that man now. Pay him now. Joey Bosa is likely out until summer, which is not surprising to me. Sadly, he's been injury prone, but I just wanted to add that note about James Cook. Please, Bills, do the right thing. Give the man his money, because he is a very underrated running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's not asking to break the bank either. He just wants to be paid fairly in like the upper tier of running backs, which he is absolutely on the field and upper in the upper tier of running backs. Is he Saquon Barkley or Bijan? No. But he's just the next step right under him. And give the man his money. I kind of figured he wouldn't show up for OTAs. It's not the biggest deal anymore. When you start getting closer to the season, you begin to hold out more. That's when it starts getting a little hairy. I know I followed him on Twitter for the longest time, and after every running back contract, it'd be big contract, small contract, Patrick's or practice squad contract. He's just top comment, or he's quoting the tweet, just like, congratulations, homie. And then it's like dollar bills, like, mine's next. Like, come on, Bills, please pay him. Please pay him. I don't think he gets paid though. I think he has to leave, which is unfortunate. But the Bills are really good at drafting and really good at drafting running backs specifically. So I don't think they feel any pressure at all to have to pay him. But if they don't, go be great somewhere else.
Absolutely. I'm definitely speaking, just going back on the Falcons. I'm definitely excited for training camp. I will definitely be at at least one, maybe two of the open practices for training camp this year. I went 2 years ago because last year it was blocked off for the fans because they were doing renovations in Flowery Branch. But I will definitely be there for at least one, maybe two of the open practices this year. Actually, no, I was they had one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last year that I went to. So that was really fun. But I'm very excited to see how Penix is and how all of our rookies are doing. Definitely gonna try and get some autographs like I did a few years ago, but very excited for training camp. Actually, very excited for a Falcon season in God knows how long, so
Yeah. I just know I keep seeing on Twitter Michael Penix has some of the nicest balls you've ever seen.
Yeah, those dudes need to phrase the tweets better.
Dude, it's always like Dove Kleiman or like Ari Mirov, like, dude.
Dove is the worst NFL account on Twitter.
Dove is hands down the worst, bro. Michael Penix has the nicest balls you will ever see. It's just the definition of engagement farming. He's obviously doing it on purpose, but I laugh every time I see it.
I'm pretty sure that's like an automated Twitter account. I don't think anyone actually runs that account.
Yeah, all the ones this weekend, Travis Hunter and his fiance getting married, it's like not congratulating them for getting married, it's like no prenup in all caps.
That or if he tweets something about like some just scumbag of the NFL, he'll put like inspirational and then the tweet. Yeah, like I think it was like Deshaun Watson like got married to like his girlfriend or something, and it just says inspirational, and then Deshaun Watson gets married to his girlfriend, and all the comments like inspirational.
Was she one of his masseuses at once? No. No, he's a changed man. Deshaun Watson is a changed man. It's like speaking of one of the ugliest quarterback rooms of all time. Oh, I would be shocked if Shedeur Sanders gets a roster spot. No chance.
Yeah, I saw that today that he's not guaranteed a roster spot, which is fair. I mean, fifth round pick for a reason.
Yeah.
But it would be the tip of the iceberg, or fucking icing on the cake, if Dylan Gabriel steals his roster spot.
I mean, that's why he was drafted two rounds ahead of him. I mean, you never know. Crazy.
Dylan Gabriel's not third round talent.
No, he's not. But he was drafted
only the Bills
in front of a generational talent like Shedeur Sanders. That's like a Dove Kleiman headline. It's like generational talent. Shedeur Sanders is not guaranteed a roster spot.
Yeah, if I was a Browns fan, I would not want to watch this year with Kenny Small Gloves being the quarterback.
Oh, Kenny Gloves in general. I don't know how you're...
Kenny Two Gloves.
It's terrible. Dude's hands are, like, smaller than ours. It's weird.
Hey, man, let me grip a football.
Yeah, I know how to grip a football. And all the pictures that go viral of him, just, like, his grip is all the way, like, on the back of the ball because he can't grab the middle of it.
So bad. I feel so bad for Browns fans. They've been through hell.
They're gonna keep hell. Living in it. Keep living in it.
Like I thought, being an Atlanta sports fan was bad. Browns fans, it's this is us here. This is us here, and then the Browns are like up here.
Oh yeah, just
it's bad.
Generationally it's bad. Football town in general.
Hey, but. I will say, as poverty as the Browns are, they have made the playoffs more recently than the Falcons have.
Yeah, we've been stuck in purgatory.
Yeah, which is another kick to the groin.
Yeah, at least we're never bottom of the barrel. You know, bare minimum, we're going to fight out and get those 7 wins just to destroy our draft spot.
Yeah, pick in mid every year.
Yep. Yeah, that's the worst part about being stuck in Falcons purgatory. But... we nailed it this year. Come on, boys. We nailed the draft.
Come on. Come on.
We need it. Need it like it's water. All right.
I will say one more thing about the Falcons. I don't know if the odds were increased, but I saw that majority of the betting sites had the Falcons team total or win total at 7.5, which I think is absolute robbery. If I was a betting man, I would be hammering the over. Hammering the over.
Yep.
There is no shot in hell that we win 8 games this year. Just no way. Yep. No way.
I mean, we looked at the schedule. not too long ago. There's definitely 8 wins in that schedule for sure. All right, Braves, it's time. This team pisses me off so much, but I'm gonna get the good out of the way. Watching Ronald Acuna in Braves uniform, wearing the number 13 with all of his yellow highlighter gloves and equipment. It makes it much more fun. It's no longer just like ho-hum, like waiting around, like is anything gonna happen? If the game starts at 6:45, if your TV's not on the Braves at 6:45, you have a chance to miss a home run. Because he's batting leadoff. Obviously my favorite player in the game. I mean, couldn't be happier that he's back. Strider as well, even though he's not been great so far. Still battling back from the injury. His fastball velocity averaged about, what, 94 miles an hour in that first game against the Nationals. Not very good. But we got Phillies tonight. Strider on the bump. Acuña batting leadoff. At least we're looking up a little bit.
Yeah. Huge series. Just the Padres series pissed me off so much. I mean, Eli White, I don't know if you were just drinking in the dugout. I don't know what the hell you saw. I don't know
He
what
saw a
the
ghost.
hell you saw.
He turned around and ran back to second base, scared like he saw something.
Burrow had a Sam Darnold moment there, seeing ghosts. Like,
That's like an Orlovsky stepping out of the back of the end zone.
yeah. Just, I can't tell you the amount of times I've seen just terrible base running from the Braves. Just terrible base running mistakes. Literally costed you a game, costed multiple games this season. Should have taken 2 out of 3 from the Padres, but. You know, moving on to the Phillies. Huge, and I cannot or I cannot state it even more, huge series Tuesday, Wednesday. A sweep is ideal. I do not think it will happen. I think we'll take 2 out of 3, which is I will take any series win right now. I don't care if it's a season win against the White Sox, just any series win right now. You need to start winning now. I mean, it's almost getting almost halfway through the season. You're still under 500. I mean, hell, 50 games in this team or 52 games, this team is still under 500, and it's been frustrating, man. You know. The pitching will have an amazing game, and the offense won't show up. Offense shows up, pitching just shits the bed. It's the most inconsistent team this year. It pisses me off. I'm hoping Strider shoves against the Phillies fans to shut them all the hell up. I cannot stand Philly fans. Cannot stand their. Oh, I wouldn't say I hate the team necessarily. There's a few players that I like. Just the fans that just piss me off. So Strider going tonight against Ranger Suarez. That is a person that I hate. Hate Ranger Suarez. That dude is probably the most. I mean, I don't know. This is gonna be a hot take, but I think he's one of the more average pitchers in the game. And the past few postseasons, we made that dude look like prime Randy Johnson against us. Pissed me off. Want to shell him so bad tonight. Give up like 10 runs. Need Strider to be on his best tonight. I think I'm not as worried. I'm not worried with Strider. I just think, you know, last game was kind of a tune-up game. You know, I mean, the Nationals. I mean, no, even though we lost, but I'm not worried about Strider. And then we got Smith Shaver versus Wheeler. I think that will be the game that we lose. Just Zach Wheeler is insane. One of, if not the best pitcher in baseball behind Skeens and Eric
Ooh.
Skubal.
Dude's
Yeah.
unreal.
Dude, threw 103 mile per hour fastball to end the game. That is nuts.
At the end of a
I don't know how.
massive 97 pitch shutout.
I don't know how dude's arm wasn't dead. and throwing 103 mile per hour fastball in the game is
he's got that
insane.
Classic Charlie Morton rubber arm. It's just a rubber band with a hand at the end, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. But Strider, Smith, Shauver, who's coming off a really, really bad game last Thursday against the Nationals. But I think he'll turn it around. I'm not really worried too much about him. Chris Sale, just again, he's vintage Chris Sale that we saw last year. He's not. Fortunately, he's suffering from the Jacob deGrom disease, where he shoves and his offense is not giving him any run support. He's been really good these past few starts. Looking back to that Cy Young winner Chris Sale from last year. So the starting pitching has not been my issue. It has been the bullpen and the inconsistent offense, man. I don't know what you do. I really don't know what you do. It's been frustrating to watch. I'm hoping that the offense can start, getting more consistent, because I mean we need to start doing it now. I think the Braves are like 7.5 or 8.5 back of the Phillies right now for first, which at this point I'm not really worried about winning the division. I just want to get in the wild card. So I mean obviously the division's not over in May, but it's not looking good right now. I have all the confidence in the world. I think the Braves, once June hits, June is usually the month where the Braves go on a huge winning streak. So I think they're going to do it again this year. I think the Braves are going to go on a nice little winning streak and get back in contention for the division.
Yeah, we're 8.5 back of the Phillies right now. Obviously, with a sweep that goes down three games to 5.5 games back, which would be sick. But the Mets are only a game and a half back from the Phillies as well. So they're right up there too. They've been kind of on a skid lately. Last 10 games, Phillies are 9-1. So it's definitely going to be a tough series for sure. I don't think we didn't get great pitch matchups either. Like Ranger Suarez turns into prime Randy Johnson against us, and Zach Wheeler might be prime Randy Johnson for all we know. But he's always been really good. And I believe he's always been really good against us too. I know there's a couple times where we've gotten to him, but if we could get to him in that second game, that would be huge.
Yeah. Again, this huge series. Need a sweep so bad. I don't think so. I think the Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. They usually do good against the Phillies in the regular season and then just can't do anything in the playoffs. So if it was the playoffs, I'd be a lot more worried about this series. But I mean, I guess you could say it's still quote unquote early in the season. I guess even though it's not really. But I think the Braves are going to take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies and then come back against the Red Sox, which I'll be in attendance on Friday. So hopefully the Braves come home off a sweep or at least 2 out of 3 from the Phillies.
Yeah, that would be huge. We need to do what we did to the Red Sox a couple weeks ago. Was that 2 weeks ago? Bats got hot. I think a lot of it was attributed to Fenway being a kid's ballpark, but that's fine. Matt Olson's still kind of been on a heater. Who else can we start talking shit about that we need to go on heaters? Because every player that we have talked crap about has started playing really well. Michael Harris, you're the worst baseball player in the world. Oh my God, I hate watching you play.
Yeah, I was going to say, Michael Harris on his offensive side has been absolutely atrocious, but defensively he's been amazing.
Yeah,
he robbed Jackson Merrill of 2 hits in the series this weekend, which I don't know if you watched yesterday's game, but he kind of went like that.
Yeah.
To Harris.
Center fielder throwing another center fielder. That was cool. I like that.
I mean, Michael Harris has been really struggling offensively. I just think he's... I don't know what the issue is, man. I just don't know if he just doesn't have good knowledge of the strike zone or what. I remember what... I think it was yesterday or Sunday. But he swung at three straight changeups in the dirt three times in a row.
Yep.
I mean, I don't... Dude just needs to work on his hitting.
He's
I think
not even contesting them.
Yeah, I think his OPS is getting close to under 600, which
is under 600.
Awful. Maybe, but he hasn't been good at all offensively. But I will say, a dude that is doing amazing on offense is none other than the king himself, Ronald Acuña Jr. It's funny. I was up in Kentucky this weekend for a family thing, and I was watching the game on my phone, and I was going crazy when he hit that first pitch homer.
Yeah.
I was like, "Yep, he's back."
Yeah. I mean, I've lost it, dude. That was talk about a moment there. That was unreal.
And I also want to say to all the idiots who on Twitter who said that Acuña wouldn't be as big of a factor on offense, which I saw a few people who said that. You people sound like just the biggest morons ever.
You're wrong. You're fired.
He was the sole reason why the Padres game on Friday was close. He accounted for the only run of the game, or else the Braves would have gotten shut out. But I don't understand why people just think that thought that he wouldn't be an instant contributor. I mean, we're talking about a former MVP who had a 40-70 season, and people are just like, oh yeah, like he's not going to be a contributing factor. Like you're just
dude,
idiot.
They're saying that because he wasn't a huge factor coming off his ACL the first time, but he also came back like less than 9 months later. He was gone for a calendar year. He took some extra time.
I mean, I get that, but I mean, it's still Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah,
he's top five, top three player in baseball, and he's healthy.
Yep.
I mean, how would he not be an instant contributor to an offense that's very inconsistent?
Yeah,
people are just stupid as hell.
Yeah. All right, Michael Harris, your turn. You and your 588 OPS. I'm looking at it right now. Michael Harris, you and your 588 OPS need to get your ass back on base. Stop swinging at the BS. I mean, there is no reason. I saw the same screenshot that you probably saw on Twitter with the three changeups in a row, all of like rolling past home plate. He swung at all three of them. Just abysmal. Start wearing your Georgia bandana again. Maybe you'll be able to start hitting like the Georgia baseball dogs.
Get some aura.
Yeah.
I
mean, once we started talking about Ozzy when he had less than 600 OPS, now he's up to 650 and he's 5 for his last 10. So, La Bestia for La Bestia is back.
I don't mean to slander Nick Allen because I think he's been solid for us, but when Nick Allen has a higher OPS than you, you need to get in. I'm sorry, yeah. Nick Allen. I think you're amazing defensively, but you need to start swinging the bat too, man. Like
so is my players. I mean, they're very similar kinds of players. Seems like
yeah. Also, Orlando Arcia getting shipped off. Colorado is so funny.
See you later, baby. See you later.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, buddy.
Yeah.
Enjoy Colorado.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, he had a great 1 year run for us, taking over for Dansby. 1 year was great. All star. Everything since then has been borderline terrible. He was like Nick Allen, known for his defense, but then in that 2023 year, he started hitting the ball too. And then even these past couple of years, his defense has decreased so much.
He should have been released after the 2023 playoffs, you know, with the whole like attaboy Harper, which I still think it's funny that dude got mad at that for no reason. But
I don't even think he speaks English.
But,
like, there's no way he actually said that. Like, bro does not speak English. He uses full translation.
Like, it was probably, like, just in, like, broken English.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. But
hey, in the butt.
But Bryce Harper got the last laugh, and he definitely got the last laugh yesterday, which we are with you, Bryce. We all did not like Arcia, so see you later, buddy. Enjoy hell, and don't let the door kick you in the ass on the way out.
Oh my gosh. All right, who else do you need to talk crap about? We got Michael Harris, and we sprinkled in some Nick Allen there, too. Although, we appreciate both of their defense. If you could start swinging at pitches that are inside the strike zone and making contact, and those go far. And then when the pitches aren't in the strike zone, don't swing. You don't have to. It's not an obligation to swing at four straight changeups in the mud.
Austin Riley, buddy, you need to work on your defense, man. You costed us the game on Sunday. But I still think, I mean, I don't really need to slander him on offense. I think he's one of our best hitters, but
he's all right.
Go call up Ron Washington and have him go through the drills with you, because you need it, man. You need it.
Just get on the face with him in pregame. I'm sure he'll do it. Just prop him up right on the base like that. And just start yelling at him, Ron. I mean, something. The Angels are doing pretty well, though.
I don't know how. I don't know manager. How.
Good for you, Ron.
Yeah. Love you, Ron. Yeah. Miss you, EY.
Yeah.
We did. Also,
should we talk about the third base coach?
So funny you mentioned that. I was about to say, can Bro get demoted to Gwinnett?
Tui Supo.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know, he was the he used to be the manager of the Stripers.
Yep.
But dear God, dude, like you've cost. Yeah, I mean, you've had some terrible sins, man. Like I don't. Like, Bro just really is trying to do his best Ron Washington impersonation, because some of these sins are, like,
so bad.
Oh, man.
Like, so bad. The one with Austin Riley, when he got, he got thrown out. He wasn't even halfway down the line from third to home.
Yeah, dude, I remember watching that game, like, dude, like, what the hell are you doing, dog? Like, you just lost us the game. You just lost us the game.
He's costed us many runs, lost us a couple games. I think it's time for you to speak Chinese, buddy. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. Tui Sui Snopo. You might know it already. All right, that's going to do it for episode 16 of the Gridiron Pulse. Oh, man. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys later on in this week. See ya.
Peace.